The other day, earlier this week, we all got to witness the debacle that was the debate. I can say personally for myself, I don't feel like either side won. I agree with some other pundits who had said that the loser of the debate was the American people. If you are a person who is on the fence about who you're going to vote for, and you go to view this in hopes to get some information about which way you want, what side of the fence you want to land on, and where your one vote is going to count, you didn't gain any headway on this deal. I believe that this was an event for two people to verbally attack each other and then have two people controlling this event that were on one side. This was a triple team. It was a triple threat match for any of you guys who are wrestling fans. Anyway, today Jason and I are going to have a pretty, hopefully, animated conversation about this. So anyway, sit back. Don't go away. We start now. Hey, folks, and welcome here to the next episode of The Richard Leonard Show. I really want to thank you for being here. As I say every week, it is extremely humbling, and I am extremely grateful for all of you that are here watching this thing grow. All of us here at the studio, we all are grateful. Before we get started, of course, I know that you won't mind me telling you about how the show is made possible. And I think it's important to note that this is the 127th or 128th episode of the Richard Leonard Show, and Cortez Wealth Management, Carlos Cortez Jr., has supported this show since day one. And so I'd like to just say thank you to him, because without him, this show would not be where it is today. So Carlos, thank you. With that being said, get yourselves on over to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Check out their webinar. Get signed up for it. They happen on Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Carlos and the staff want to help you get settled, and he wants to help you plan and execute a tax-free retirement plan for yourself. So get on over there, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Once you get all this information, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, reach out to Carlos and his staff. Let them help you get over those hurdles. That's what they're there for, and they're eager to help you. So let them do that, and let yourself have the freedom of a tax-free retirement plan. AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Check it out. Okay, so we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to bring in the hard hitting other half of the Twin Towers here, Jason Ose. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, buddy. The bearded turd.
The bearded turd. It's good to see you. I like your shirt, by the way, for show.
Oh, can't be beat.
I wanna put this out there before we get started. Jason, you talk all the time about pho, and I've never had this. So if anybody's had this soup, please weigh in about how delicious it is, because I have yet to try it. And so I've heard a lot about it, and I've also heard many times that I'm going to try it soon. So I'm just waiting for that opportunity.
We'll make sure. I mean, you know, there's people that have met Ty on the Disgruntled Show. And I will tell you, I wasn't a fan to begin with. I went to a couple of bad places, but now I make it at home even. Delightful. So anyway, I didn't invite you the last couple of times, and now I stand humbly before you saying that the next time that I make it, you will be here.
All right. Richard Leonard Show audience is our witnesses. Okay, the debate, Jason. What did you think? You heard my intro. I don't think anybody won. I think the loser of this thing was the people who are undecided. Right. What say you about said debate?
I mean, do you talk about dog shit in the backyard?
No.
Exactly. It just existed, and that's what this did. I don't think this moved a lot of people's markers. I think there were moments where, people that were on the fence were either turned on or turned off by either of the candidates or selectedits or whatever you want to call them. But I think what struck out to me the most were certain comments made by Kamala that were laughable on their face. And again, I'm not looking for those things that stick out so broadly or greatly that they should offend everybody. But certainly a lot of the things that happened in regards to her comments about the military were they were laughable on their face. And so I would hope independents saw that. I would hope everybody saw it because the reality is what you see with your eyes and what you hear with your ears. And it has to be in unison. And if you can't trust your ears, you just need to trust your eyes.
Well, and I think that I think that there's unfortunately there's a lot of people in this country that are listening to both sides of these campaigns. And things like support for the military and the way that it functions, maybe the budget, and the recruiting crisis. I believe that there have a recruiting crisis. Those types of things aren't like hot ticket items for them. And understandably, for people like you and I, they are because this was our life. This is what we dedicated our time to. But you would still think that anybody who lives here, who is an American citizen, would keep that in on the forefront of their mind because without a strong military, we're just targets.
Right.
And so like all these other issues I think are important issues. Things like abortion and things like the economy and things like inflation and stuff like that. That stuff is important. If we don't have a strong military or strong borders, which I'm sure we'll get to later in the show, none of that other stuff matters because it's not going to be there.
Right. Well, and all those things are intertwined, but who wants to talk about the bad thing that's happening? Like every time I heard the Democratic candidate speak about things, she was talking like she wasn't in a place to change anything currently. Right? You're not
Right.
looking at two outsiders coming into the fold. You've got somebody who's been there and somebody who is there. How the f close? How are we talking about something in hypotheticals when you're in a place to do something about it? Why are we even discussing this? And the fact that they wouldn't talk about recruitment being at all-time lows, the mishandling of the military, and how many times do we have to hear about the general officers who disagreed with Trump?
Once is more than enough.
Right? And that's the whole thing. Like, okay, so you're gonna refer to Milley without saying his name, but I'm gonna say it right now that Trump was somebody who shouldn't have been in the position that he was. The same guy who was speaking to a foreign country about don't worry about things. I've got him under control. That's treasonous. Now, I can't say specifically that that did happen, but there's been insinuations that it has. That he spoke with China about calming down the rhetoric on the backside. That is not something a military person does. If you know anything about anything and you're in the military, you don't talk about what may or may not happen. You sit calmly, you listen, because that's not your job. Ultimately, execute. You can create intent, you can create a battle plan, you can create a protection plan, but you do not decide when and where the battle is going to be fought. You decide how.
Well, you decide whatever it is you're told to decide.
You're damn straight, and the military officers are gonna have a forward-looking face, a defensive-looking face. They're gonna know the complexities of whatever war fighter that they have to look at. But the same people that she makes inferences to are the same people that you wouldn't want running your business or being anywhere involved in it if you're a leader. These are the people you do fire, and I think Trump said it right. He's like, "Yeah, oh, fine. Like all the guys I fired didn't like me."
Yeah,
Boo.
weird.
Yeah, talk to any business owner in America. Yeah, the folks that don't work for you anymore for probable cause or reason, yeah, they're normally not your biggest fan. No shit.
Yeah, and that's like it's elementary, right? That's elementary logic, and so to follow up on that, the day after the debate, I was watching some things on Twitter or X or whatever we call it now. And there was some lady who was saying they were polling people outside some event, and it was very smart. And what she said was that we are in a very unique position as a country right now because we have two candidates who are running for president who have both had a term in office in the White House, and that hasn't. In my lifetime, that's never happened. And so that kind of clicked for me. Okay, so Donald Trump has had a term in the White House. Kamala Harris has had a term in the White House, albeit president versus vice president. But I guess the comparison is who did the job that they were assigned to do? Who did the job that they were there to do?
Who did the job that they said they were gonna do?
There you go.
Right? Because I'm sick of this society. Of course, these are things that they need to be doing. Who actually did them? Regardless of what you think about the output, who actually created output? Why do we continually look for politicians who never deliver or deliver something completely different than the storyline? I mean, we know Kamala is a chameleon. I'm not saying lizard person or anything crazy
She's
like
a
that.
lizard.
Likely, but she speaks to the room that's in front of her, not, it's not specific to her ideology. It's specific to the group. I mean,
Yeah.
if I were to present something to a military group, certainly I'm gonna probably have that discussion with a bit of a military devise to it. But if I'm going to be real about what I'm saying, it's always going to have the exact same tenet. It's going to run in the same lines. It's going to have the same left and right limit. She doesn't have that. And we watched it time after time, talking about supporting the military. In what way? I always supported the military. Well, that's really easy to say. What have you done? Show me something that has happened in the last 3.5 years where you can take the hat off, give the bow and say you supported the military. Can you think of one, Richard?
Well, no, I haven't. I don't. I can't. I haven't. There's nothing. But furthermore, supporting the military is different for different, I suppose, levels or classes of people, right? Supporting the military for the guy that sits in the cubicle next to you at work looks a whole lot different than the vice president of the United States supporting the military.
Certainly, that's the context in which we're speaking.
Well, right, but what I'm saying is, like, she can stand up there and say, "Well, yeah, I support the military. I always have." Okay, well, I'm sure that you do. I'm sure that you'd say, "Yeah, well, God bless our troops." But as the vice president, God bless our troops, supporting the military that way isn't enough. That's
Right.
not enough. I don't know, man. I.
And they play it off like the vice president doesn't have an active role in things. I mean, she was the border czar.
And wasn't that her only job?
So let's just say that that was the one thing that she was tasked out to do, which protecting the borders is one of the fundamental reasons we have governance in any country. We're the only country apparently that doesn't have them, but she was given specific control over that. You can whitewash it, take it off the internet, do whatever you want. It exists. I'm sorry if you're hearing this, this is the first time. That was her job. Protection of our country is absolutely a military thing because we don't go build FOBs. We don't go build air bases. We don't go build army installations. We don't go build naval. I don't know what our naval, like, what are their?
Installations, piers,
We'll call them
bases.
installations. Sorry, I figured there was a better word, but I'm just a moron. But we don't build those things without protecting them anywhere else. What the fuck are we talking about? Like we're just saying, oh no, well, America, come as you are. Come as you are. It's not a big deal. But I can promise you, if people are crossing the fence, the real fence that we build at those installations across the globe, that there's going to be consequences, but somehow not at home. Like you were in charge of that. If you can't do that basic, simple thing, what are you going to do? Who is not laughing at you as a military leader? Because quite frankly, the president of the United States has an unique position where they have to control the temperature of the entire globe. They can do things to control the economy. They can do things to assist with inflation. They can do things. They have levers they can pull. But at the end of the day, the temperature of our globe is based upon the temperament of our president. And
Yeah.
it's through the military, period.
And can you imagine what can you imagine what the some international summit is going to be like when this dummy, if she wins, if this dummy walks into the room, the G6 summit or whatever it is, this NATO thing, and starts to try to throw her dumbass weight around. She's not a negotiator. She doesn't strike fear into anybody. Nobody's intimidated by Vice President Kamala Harris and her cackling. Nobody gives a shit who that she's there. The
No.
only reason, in my opinion, that anybody in internationally, that is any kind of leader, government leader, internationally wants this woman to be the president of the United States is so that they can push her dumb ass around.
Ineffectual, ineffective. Period. I mean,
Absolutely.
sit there with your hands like this for another 100 conversations. Let me be clear about being clear and the clarity of the clear moment. What the fuck did you just? It's nonsense. And depending upon the clarity of the room is the clarity of the discussion. It's baloney. It goes back to the nonsense word that I love. And she is so full of it. Could you imagine? Okay, I'm not Kim Jong-un, Putin, any world leader who wants to do business with the United States was just given the world's best bargaining token. Should she end up in that place?
Yeah.
They can put they number one, she's never shown a place where she will draw the line in the sand and she will not back over it. Period. Hasn't happened. She put people in prison for smoking weed and then bragged about doing it listening to rappers who didn't even have albums out at that time when she was in college.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So
Man.
right there, where's her line? There is no line that she won't cross. There is no backstepping she won't do. Anybody that would make a deal with America during that time frame I wouldn't have any faith that that the Americans are going to operate in good standing with that agreement. Why would I? She never has. She never will.
Yeah.
It will always be to the tune of how she perceives people need her to be in that time. And that's not what a leader is. That's not a leader. That's not a president. That's not a CEO. That's not somebody that you want above you directing traffic around you. Period.
Yeah, man. I can't say, at all that I would be proud to say that Kamala Harris is my president. Now, I can't necessarily say that I'd be super proud that Trump is my president, but between the two, at least we know that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. At least we know that he strikes fear into people internationally. People know not the whole. I'm guessing that there's international leaders when this guy was in office that had that fuck around and find out chart on the wall somewhere, so
You imagine.
they knew where they knew where they stood. And at the end of the day, the American people knew day to day that their lives were better, things were cheaper, it was easier to move around town, they felt safer in their communities, the police were supported, the firefighters were supported, first responders were all supported.
Right.
Life was just better for Americans. And it's real easy for a lot of these people that sit up on their ivory thrones in our well-to-do neighborhoods across this country and say, well, you know, Donald Trump just cares about himself. All he cares about is himself, and all he talks about is himself, and Kamala Harris actually cares about the people. Well, bullshit, she cares about the people. None of these people who are sitting in these rich neighborhoods who don't really have any life experience outside of their little bubble really understand what's really happening in this country. When Donald Trump started spouting off about people eating cats and shit in Springfield, Ohio, the whole world laughed. But it's happening.
It's happening. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to say this because I think this needs to be said, and it needs to be said out loud to everybody in America. We need to get over the feel and into the real.
Exactly.
She poo-pooed the fact that that may or may not have occurred. There are many news organizations and there are people who have discussed the fact that it has happened. That's the real. The fact that you can have a presidential debate in what? The year of our Lord, 2024, and talk about any part of our population, let alone a part of our population that shouldn't be here, eating people's domestic animals speaks volumes for what's been going on. Period.
Absolutely.
If that would have happened 10 years ago, 12 years ago, excuse me, 12, 16, 20 years ago, I would hope that candidate would have been laughed off the stage. They want to laugh about it now because they don't want to admit the reality that we sit in.
Mm-hmm.
It is happening. It has happened. People are not in a better place because of the policies that have been enacted over the last 3.5 years. And you can call it border security. You can call it what you want to. Border security, even though it's not done by the military, is 100% part of operational security, which is a big part of the military, period.
Yep, you're right. And I'll tell you what, one of my favorite parts about said debate was when Donald Trump said, why don't you take your ass, well, he didn't say ass, but why don't you take your ass to Washington, D.C., wake up your boss who's having a slumber party with God knows who, sniffing hair, and take him to the office and tell him to pick up that red goddamn phone and announce that the border's closed. Stop. Just close it. The president does have that power, I believe. Hey, guess what? Border Patrol, National Guard, United States military, border's closed. Secure it. Do what you got to do. Here's the bullets. Here's the weapons. Here's the food. Here's the water. Here's the vehicles. Here's the aircraft. Whatever you need, close the goddamn border. But nobody will do that. And to be fair, I don't know that Trump would do that either. But they have the power to do it. And the point is that they will say that, well, there's nothing going, the border's fine. Immigration numbers are going down. Biden and Harris will tell you, no, we got it under control. Everything's got, inflation's coming down. Illegal immigration's coming down. We got it under control. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. But the fact of the matter is, tell that to the people who are losing their kids to violence. Tell that to the family of the girl, the little girls who are getting kidnapped and raped under a fucking bridge and left there to die. You tell them that it's not happening. I just can't believe that that's happening. That's not true. It can't be true. Open your goddamn eyes. Because it's happening in your house. And you know what, Jason? None of these people who are denying that any of this stuff happens will be standing in line at their government centers or wherever it is you need to go to be a foster home for an immigrant family. Why don't you go down there and say, yeah, I'll take a mom and dad and two kids. They can live in my house with me. I'll make sure that they get fed. I'll help them find a job. I'll take them to church. Don't worry about it. I got them. Nobody will do that, but it's okay. Let them in. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Well, and doesn't this speak volumes of our friend Mike Rivard in his phraseology of gesture politics?
Absolutely.
That's all any of this shit is. And any time that you have a politician that says or insinuates that the Constitution gets in the way is the first person you need to fire. The Constitution is not something that got in the way. The Constitution is the thing that gave us the framework to be here today.
Yes.
If you want to look at the Constitution and say, well, it's a hurdle, it's a stumbling block, incorrect. The Constitution is what gave us America and its freedoms. It's what gave every human being born on native soil inalienable rights given by their creator. So government cannot take them away. Not so government can give them to you as a right. That God gave them to you as a right, and government has no business to take that away from you. So the Constitution isn't a piece of paper. It's not outdated. It's not antiquated. The Constitution is the single most important thing, and we follow that on with 1A and 1B, the Bill of Rights. These are not just pieces of paper. And so any politician, certainly one that is vying for the highest position in this country, can never once say that the Constitution is a hurdle or a stumbler or a block or a something. That is your guideline.
Right. Right.
That's it. What's the first thing that you swear allegiance to when you join the military?
Your country.
Country and the Constitution of the United States of America.
Yeah, to defend the against all enemies.
The same thing our politicians have to utter out of their mouths. Albeit with her hand over a Tickle Me Elmo book or the Quran and some other bullshit, it should be over the Bible. And that's the way that it needs to be, because you have to understand the morality of this country is the fabric and the framework that keeps us here. And when you're willing to throw out the morality and the framework and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights and all these other things, then you deserve neither freedom nor protection from it. Because these people want chaos. Why they want the things that they want is beyond me. As somebody who has served in the military, and I think you would agree with this, there is nothing crazier to me than chaos from the outside in. Freedoms from the inside out need to be loved and cherished, because there are freedoms. They are the given pieces that allow us as Americans to roam free and do the great things that we get to do. They allow us to live the life that we're supposed to live. And every day we get further and further down this fucking rabbit hole of them changing the narrative that they control all this. They don't control any of that. And people buy into that nonsense, not knowing what they're giving up. And that is how you could ever have somebody that wants to live that way, to be in charge of our military, has to understand how that military can and will be used in the future. And if you're willing to travel down that path, well, this conversation isn't for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What the frig?
And here's the other part that blows my mind, right? And this will be our final thought for the segment. These two people are running for arguably the most powerful political position in the world, right? And we know, unless you have buried your head in the sand and are sleeping in a cave or under a rock, we know what kind of disasters are happening all over this world. And for anybody who's running for this office, in my opinion, to come out on a stage and have nothing to say about protecting the people of this country from the atrocities that are happening all over the fucking world, but instead we're going to talk about the price of insulin, right? Like, that's important, but at the end of the day, insulin doesn't matter. when we're being infiltrated and nobody's going to be able to afford any of it, right? All these things are important, but this woman comes out and says nothing about securing the safety of our children, the safety of our homes, the safety of our elderly, the safety of our sick, and just the safety of the American people as a whole. And you want to be the most powerful person, arguably, in the world? And the only thing you have a plan for is to give first-time home buyers $25,000, to give first-time small business owners $50,000, and to give illegal aliens a fucking driver's license so they can vote for your dumb ass and keep collecting money and benefits that are meant for the American citizens. And I'm sorry. I know that there are... I take that back. I'm not sorry. Fuck that. We're not going to be nice. But I know that there are illegal immigrants that come to this country and they do want to work their asses off and they want to build a better life for themselves or their families or whatever. And that's fantastic. But you know what? Go home and work your ass off. And do the proper thing, fill out the proper paperwork, go through the proper channels, and come to America the proper way. Just like my grandfather did when he brought my grandmother, my mom, and my aunt to this country and went to work and worked his balls off as a welder. And my grandmother went to work as a seamstress and raised his family through Ellis Island, just like every other immigrant was required to do. The fact that we are allowing all of this stuff to happen is a slap in the face to my grandfather and my family and yours. We're all immigrants here. What the hell are we doing? We're going to put some woman in office that doesn't give a shit about what it took for your family to be here comfortably and provide and make a life for themselves and for you and to carry on to, from generation to generation in your family. It's asinine. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hey folks, we just have a very short break here because we're running short on time, but I wanted to talk to you quickly about joining the Stew Crew. If you have watched the network in the last few weeks, you will have probably seen this already, but if not, this will be new to you and a reminder for some. The network is growing. We are growing large. For the last 4 years, everything that we have put together, all the work we have done, has all been free to you, the watcher, the viewer. We are now at a stage where we need some help, we need some support. All of these things take resources. And so if you would consider joining the Stew Crew, I'm going to show you here. Down on the left side, the bottom left of the screen here, you're going to see this red button that's labeled Stew Crew. You can click on there, and for $9 a month or $90 a year, you'll get 2 months for free. You can join the Stew Crew to get premium access to extra content. There are also other benefits such as giveaways. Stu is putting together packages of giveaways for premium subscribers. So you do receive something extra as a thank you for joining us and for your support. This is, folks, a sign of growth. But we have to keep growing. We are in the constant search for truth. And we are in the constant search of making sure that you, our viewers, are properly informed to make your own decisions about whatever the topic at hand is. So, again, here at the bottom left, the Stew Crew, $90 a year, $9 a month. There's also the ability to make a one-time donation if that is what you so choose to do. You can do anything from as small as $1 all the way up to $1 million, I think, is the cap. So feel free to go nuts on there, whatever you can do. It's important to mention, though, that we Of course, do not want anybody to go backwards. We don't want anybody to feel the hurt by supporting the network. We don't believe that you should have to do with less to support us. So if you can't do it, we understand. It's no big deal. We still appreciate you watching and participating in the content that is put out to you. But if you can and you won't miss $9 a month, please consider joining. Again, we are running short on time, so I'll see you back in the show. Hey, folks, welcome back here to the next segment of the show. When we ended the last segment, both Jason and I were on one hell of a soapbox. And I think it's because these topics are extremely frustrating. It's maddening that these discussions even need to be happening because it seems so clear. It seems so clear what's happening. But let's move on. Jason, the other thing offline you and I had picked out to discuss about the debate was the lack, maybe, of talk about the pullout of Afghanistan. Well, say that three times fast. And what a disaster that was. Not only was it a disaster, not only did we leave billions and billions of dollars worth of equipment, but we lost American lives. This idea that it was cheaper to leave equipment than it was to bring it home, it's something that we've heard before. I mean, I can recall hearing that when we were in Iraq and Kuwait, and we left a lot of stuff because it was just cheaper. But I don't know, this whole pullout, I believe, will forever be a stain on the fabric of America, yeah. A laughing stock, if you will, of military operations. If there's a book written about how to screw up a military operation, this is going to be chapter one, and it's going to be
right.
Three quarters of the book.
How to Biden Harris your way out of a successful withdrawal from a war zone?
Yes. Okay. That's a very good, we could label the chapter the Biden Harris debacle,
or just the my bad. Like, yeah, you're going to tell me it's going to cost you $7 billion to send a bunch of ships over and drag our ship back. Come on. I mean, the sad reality is, bro, there are people out there foolish or dumb or brainwashed or not awakened enough to understand that that's nonsense. Yeah. That's a scary thing. That's beside the point. Let's not talk about the $7 billion left behind. Let's talk about those sweet videos of people falling off of aircraft at several hundred feet.
Oh, yeah.
Because we left that. And you know what? Trump is right. We left that shithole. That place is a shithole.
Agreed.
And there were people that wanted to, rather than be there, they chose to cling to the side of an aircraft
that was taking off.
This wasn't just a plane sitting on the tarmac for a photo op. How bad is that place?
Yeah, man.
How chaotic was it in those waning moments that somebody sat there? And don't get me wrong, we've all had terrible days, right?
Mm-hmm.
But could you imagine a day where you're like, oh, man, I really, Harley, this place, it's really grinding on me. I'm going to go jump on an 18-wheeler's axle to get out of here. Like, you wouldn't do that, let alone if there was a plane on a tarmac. So when people want to talk about if it was right, wrong, or the grounds in which, if you're looking for validation for why we did the right thing, you're wrong. There is no validation. Because if people from the country in which you are leaving are trying to hang on the outside of an airplane, clearly something else was happening.
Yeah.
Not what you were being told. There was a stark reality on the ground that the people that were there knew. And unfortunately, there's 13 people that will never be able to tell that story about what happened. I don't think we've talked to the hundreds of people that were there to discuss what the fuck was going on. Can you imagine what was going through those folks' minds?
No, man. In fact, just recently on C-SPAN, they interviewed a Marine. I shouldn't say interviewed. A Marine testified to Congress, to some group of Congress, about the day that he lost both of his legs and an arm to a IED attack at the gate that he was manning. And all he was trying to do was save this guy and his two kids, get them in the gate to provide them some kind of safety.
Right.
Nobody ever heard that story.
Of
Nobody ever
course not.
heard about that. All we heard about was the fact that, well, we're out. We did it. It was great timing. There wasn't any better time to do it than now. Yep, 13 people died. 13 people died. But you know, that's the cost of doing business.
Bullshit. Trump had it all laid out. How many people died leading up to that day?
Nobody for 18 months.
18 months, right? And so during that, and let's just go back to the wonderful debate or debacle, whatever you want to call it. The fact that Donald Trump did not take the opportunity to discuss the Abraham Accords or to say how many new wars started underneath me. He didn't need to say anything else. He inherited all the problems. He created exit strategies for those that he was involved in because of the job. Nothing else happened. And now here we sit in a situation where the old wounds got worse. We made bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And Kamala can say she was the vice president, but I assume I've never been the vice president of the United States of America. Thank God.
Right.
But I have to assume she was in the room. And when these people were talking, she clearly wasn't a voice of reason. If she were, she could honestly sit there and say, "Well, I don't believe that President Biden did the right thing." She has that opportunity right now.
She
She
certainly
has.
could say that now. You're right, 1,000%.
She hasn't, right? So the things that she won't acknowledge that were incorrect during the 3.5 years leading up to where we are today speaks volumes, which means she doesn't disagree with them.
Yeah.
Period. These were all great ideas. We're going to sacrifice 13 people. We don't want to sacrifice anybody ever. But the fact that you did it chaotically, you did it with no remorse, you did it with very little plan. The fact that you gave us talking points rather than reality, the feel versus real, that, well, we can just leave this behind because it's too expensive to bring home. Really? We don't have ships. We can get over there to get it and drag this shit home.
I'm guessing there were
Why?
ships there already.
There were already ships there. We could bring it to Europe. We've got how many different locations in Europe?
Yep.
We couldn't just bounce that thing around and pop it. Shut up. Like anybody that's foolish enough to believe that deserves to live in the fantasy world that they painted for themselves. I'm done talking to those people. We need to be talking to real people that actually understand that these situations that our government finds itself in is by its own beliefs, by its own actions. That's why Donald Trump was wonderful. You didn't have to question where he was. He sat there in front of you and told you. He went and saw what? Kim, or North Korea's leader, why? Kim Jong-un, Il, Un, right?
Something, yeah, I forget if we're on Un or Ill or Swill. I don't remember.
Whatever, Rocket Man.
Yeah,
We
Rocket
know
Boy.
that, right? I'm not that smart. I can't remember anything. I'm happy if I know what day it is. This man walked through the DMZ into North Korea to have a discussion. Do I know what they talked about? No. But do I understand that probably 7 feet behind him, he drug his balls over that line
Yeah.
to go into
Yes.
this place?
Yep.
I mean, of course, yeah. Oh, he's got the power of the United States military behind him. And if anything happened, they're all done. But guess what? That would be right a bang. Something would have had to happen. He put himself right there to take that shot. If they wanted it, they could have taken him right then and there, guaranteed.
Absolutely.
But he could have been killed, but he went. And he wasn't. And I don't know what they discussed, but things were pretty peaceful on the North Korean front for some time. Things were pretty wonderful in Iran. They were broke. You know, he talks about it, and he's a terrible orator because he gets stuck on his ego, but who gives a shit? Like the people with egos are the ones that make amazing businesses. They're the ones that designed Nike shoes out in Washington State and brought them to the forefront of athletics and created a brand that every kid wants to wear. No politician has ever actually done anything or created anything. They're always cycling somebody else's ideas. And so Donald Trump is the epitome of the American dream. This guy, how many dollars did he take out of his
Zero.
salary? Zero.
Zero.
All donated. Nobody talks about it. How much net worth did he lose being president?
Don't know.
I know at least $1 billion in asset hit.
Well,
Did it.
plus, how much did he have to pay out in legal fees and shit in the last
Who would
3 years?
even know how much money that man has given up? You know, and there'll be people, wow, he's so rich, it doesn't really matter. Bullshit. Nobody gives that up for no reason. I mean, to think that that man doesn't love the United States of America is foolish because he has had every opportunity to walk away from it and he hasn't. That's the kind of person, as a former military member, I want to have lead me. I don't want somebody that wants to be there. I want somebody that loves the fact that they're there. The fact that he was willing to sacrifice all of the things he sacrificed, his personal, all of his personal information, his family, the amount of scrutiny that he goes through, the fact that this man, how many times has he been convicted of nonsense? 34, 37? Well, fuck, who cares? Even if it's once, it's too many. Right?
Yeah, who knows the who
And he's
knows
still
anymore?
coming back to the table, bro.
Well, and
Like,
here's the other thing. Here's the other
I
thing.
didn't hear no bell. He's still going.
Yeah, here's the other thing though. The one thing that nobody has talked about in a position of power as it relates to this pullout of Afghanistan. Boy, I can't say that word today. Is that this also affects the soldiers that were fighting the war. What did we send all of our sons and daughters there to do if we were if we were going to just leave? The mission wasn't accomplished. We didn't finish the job. We got a new administration, and all of a sudden, well, you know, for optics, I think we should leave. Now there was a plan in place. It was may or may not have been set into motion already.
It
But
was.
at the end of the day, to have a pullout and a drawdown like we saw, is you might as well just go to all these national cemeteries and piss all over the graves of the men and women that fought this war for 20 years, damn near. And then go about your business. But you certainly should not stand in front of the country that you're trying to be elected by and say that you support the military and you support veterans. Because in my opinion, that is a slap in the face to every family who has buried their son or daughter that fought in that place.
Right. What?
What did we
Why?
do it for?
Right. The same people that pat themselves on the back for the PACT Act. The same people, right?
Yep.
What is the
Yes.
PACT Act, if we think about it? The PACT Act is an acknowledgement that all these things happened. They
Yeah.
didn't do anything. It still happened. I've been dealing with problems. It didn't change the fact that for 13 years, it was just, yeah, sorry, that sucks. Oh, PACT Act comes along. Oh, we fixed it.
Well, and
Box
they
office.
knew. And they knew, bro. They knew.
You're damn straight they knew.
They knew how it was going to affect us, just like they knew how Agent Orange was going to affect soldiers and people. And they didn't give a shit. Why? Because we had a mission to accomplish.
Right.
And at the time, they didn't give a shit. Oh, well, you know, don't worry. The soldiers, they'll be all right. They'll figure it out. They'll get over it.
Well, yeah, they've dealt with worse. No, it's bullshit. You know, they sit there and they want to say that, you know, you support the military and we did the PACT Act. Well, that's cool. But you knew what it was going to do. You knew that it had happened before. You were a sitting senator. You were this. You were that. You were the other thing. It wasn't expedient for you to do it at that time. Mm-hmm. Because there's no reason that I should be able to shit through a screen door on a regular basis. And you just tell me, you've got an issue we can't figure out. And then 2 weeks later, oh yeah, by the way, that's likely part of this. That's bullshit. If anybody else, if regular folks out there, if you're watching this right now and you went to your doctor and your doctor was allowed to give you a diagnosis that makes sense 2 days after this day occurs, it's never going to make you feel better. The fact that you've dealt with it for years leading up to it. And for your doctor to pat themselves on the back and be like, oh, I was able to help you out there. You would hate that doctor. So understand what every veteran feels when there's acknowledgement of the problem that we all know existed. And these people do it day in and day out. You think of the traumatic experiences, like now people interact on the streets, right? And you misgender somebody. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
At the same time, you have military members who've experienced tremendous trauma, even if they didn't face a mortal threat while they were fucking deployed. But they have something. There's a difference. They're not the same person they were because of the innate fear of what they were going to encounter. And those people have real PTSD. And we're going to compare the two. Somebody that was misgendered on the side of the street, who can call the police and do a bunch of nonsense, and the military member who's experiencing extreme discomfort mentally or physically coming back to this country, those two are somehow on level playing grounds.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And on top of all of that, Jason, people like you and I, we already know. And now I understand a whole lot better what Vietnam veterans felt. Yeah. Because now we know more likely than not what is going to kill us. We already know. And we're left here to just swallow that pill. We're left here to just come to terms with the fact that we chose to join the military. We chose to serve. We weren't drafted. And we signed that proverbial check for the cost of our life to a government who knowingly put us in a place to be exposed to things that are going to kill us. Jason, you and I are going to die from complications of burn pits, most likely, in my opinion.
100%. Well, that's something dumb gets me beforehand.
Well, yeah. Right. I mean, of course, there's all those possibilities, but if we live out our days into whatever age it is that we're meant to live, our cause of death is going to be something connected to burn pits.
Yep.
And so now we just have to navigate the rest of our lives and hope that it's not going to be anytime soon. So whenever you wake up and you feel super shitty, you just gotta hope that this is not the start of whatever it is that's going to kill you. Whatever condition it is, and hope to God that they've told us all of the things that are going to affect us. Yeah, they put out a list of presumptive conditions, but is that it? How many years was it before the government actually told us all the things that Vietnam veterans were going to suffer through from complications of Agent Orange exposure?
Another age, because it's not just Agent Orange.
Well, right. But that's what everyone knows, right? And so all of these things, now it's all out there on the table because they can't deny it anymore. It's all there. Well, we still have soldiers that are not engaged in combat, but we still have soldiers all over the world. Who knows where they're living? I mean, it's so hard for me to understand where any of these people that want our votes as if they matter, first of all. Hopefully they do, but who knows what the truth is about that even.
Right.
And then we're supposed to just blindly take their word for it. When this is the same institution that put us in a place and exposed us to the things that are going to kill us.
Yeah, and not the enemy. Like anybody that's
Not
hearing
the,
this,
right,
in
not the
context or
enemy.
outside, I don't care where we go. If there's a fighting force that was going to take us out, I'm all in. Right? It's the other stuff. It's the known environmental contaminants that were created by the war fighter. This has nothing to do with an insurgent. This has nothing to do with a fighting lethal force that could or could not take your life. This has everything to do with the politicians and the big red machine that is the military industrial complex building out these operations on the backs of military service members. And it is, dude, it sucks, right? Because
Yes.
I know my life is short. I'm okay with it. I'm great. I've changed my tune once or twice, but I will say it. I would never take away the time that I spent in the military because that made me the person I am right now. And I'm very happy to be this person. Maybe not every time I go to the bathroom, but I digress.
Right, I feel you. I feel you.
Right? And these are those things. And I don't think like normal people understand that. They think, you know, oh, these military guys, they're this or they're that or that other thing. Like there is a certain discomfort associated with waking up every day. Like when I wake up and have a good day, it's magical. When I wake up and have an okay day, it's great. When I wake up and I have a bad day, it's still a good day. Right? That's a mental thing. That's
Because
something
you
inside.
woke up.
Because you woke up, you got the big win, right?
Yep.
Like God gave you the chance for another day on planet Earth. Love it, live it, and do something with it. And that's why you and I are here doing this right now. I know that there is a plan. And that's the reason that you and I get to bullshit about this stuff. And hopefully people get to hear it and understand that we're not doing this to make millions of dollars. We're doing this to share our experience. To let
Yeah.
people know that there's a lot of people like us out there that don't have the opportunity, or quite frankly, I'm not saying they don't have the courage, but they don't want to share this side of it with the world. And I want to. And I want to do this with you, brother. This is great.
Well, I mean, somebody has to, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I feel sometimes like we were just led blindly into the fray. And you had a really good point, right? Like we were put into these positions to fight a known enemy and just put in a spot where we didn't even know that we had another fight to fight, but yet we have to fight it. And the institution who said, "Don't worry, guys, we got you. We're going to take care of you the best we can. You just focus on the mission. That's all you have to do. You guys got one job. Focus on the mission. Whatever your part of the mission is, focus on that. We got you. We got you taken care of at home. We're going to make sure you get fed. We're going to make sure you got water. We're going to make sure you got this, that, and the other thing. And then you put us somewhere that's going to kill us." And I don't care what anybody says. Those son of a bitches knew. Without a doubt. It can't be new. It can't be a new idea that you don't live next to that type of shit.
We haven't built, I mean, for crying out loud, just think of the landfill laws that exist in this country. Like, you didn't know
Right.
that you can't burn garbage where people are like, you can't burn metals. You can't. Bullshit. There was a field expedience involved. They understand what that's going to be. And I think the worst part is, and that's where this political spin needs to come back, like, probably knowing those things would not change what I would do if I knew I'm coming back to America. That's why I've said it before and I'd say it again. I would not love to be in the military right now because it's not the America that there was when I joined.
You're right.
If the idea was that I'm going to go fight for the America that I see today, man, that's a harder pill for me to swallow. And I think I probably never articulated that.
I'd probably
That's
rather be a
the
cop today.
point. I'd rather just go eat turds. Like I can't think of something that I would want to be a greater part of. Like, what are we going to do? Bring transgender ideology to the third world country? These people that can't eat and
Probably.
have no food, no water, and we're going to teach them about their sexual fluidity. Shut the fuck up with all this stupid shit. The fact that we live in a country where you can have those conversations and have them quote unquote seriously should tell you about the sheer opulence of our country. For as shitty as it is right now, that's a pretty small thing to be worried about when you're not paying attention to the dumpster fire that is your everyday life. When you no longer can afford to fill a full grocery cart every day, when you no longer can, fuel up your vehicle with a full tank of gas, knowing that your cart is going to go through. I mean, I deal with this shit all the time because I buy materials and all these other things and I bring bills to homeowners and all this stuff. None of it makes any sense. So
Yeah, I
you take
feel you.
all that nonsense here in the world that we're all experiencing, unless you're, very wealthy or make a great living. Who would want to go fight for more of this? I don't want any part of that. I can go fight for 3.5% inflation versus the 2 plan. And we can talk about it trending down. Yeah, it's trending down off 17. Like, no, this none of this in
Well,
the
I'll tell
last.
you what, those are all those are all really good points. And I'll tell you what, Jason, this is the best closing thoughts you've ever had.
Really?
So I want to congratulate you. We have more than run out of time, folks. We will be back next week. Thank you for joining us. And have a great rest of your evening. Good night.
There's a whole bunch of stories that have to be dug into, rethought, reconsidered, and in some cases completely discarded.
As modern Americans, we've been spoon-fed this dumbed-down, cartoonish, simplified version of history. It's all fake. It's all Everything that we have been taught is part of a self-serving narrative written by the people who will say and do anything to keep us on a leash. Now, this version of history, some big-name corrupt families like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and their many associates are credited over and over and over again with propelling human development. Throughout the late 18 and early 1900s, almost every major American city was burnt to the ground. What if we really are quite literally living atop the ashes of an advanced civilization that's been hidden from us for our entire lives?